Welcome to the Global Health Podcast at Georgetown University, where we are charting new directions in health and development. Where here, in our nation's capital, we have our hands on the pulse of global health. We bring you conversations with faculty and leaders in the field. From hearing about research in global health, alumni pursuits, and student field research abroad, you'll experience it all here on the Global Health Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Georgetown Global Health Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte, and today I'm joined by Professor Ava Jarawan, Assistant Professor in the Department of International Health here at Georgetown University. Professor Jarawan is a public health specialist and operations manager with over 35 years of experience in international development, including 25 years at the World Bank. She has more than 12 years of experience in the academic field, teaching graduate and undergraduate public health and global health students. Prior to the bank, Professor Jarawan held academic positions in the Department of Health Services Management and Policy at the University of Michigan's School of Public Health in Ann Arbor, the Department of Healthcare at the University of Michigan's School of Health Sciences in Flint, and at the Department of Health Services Administration at the American University of Beirut. Since retiring from the World Bank in December 2014, she was appointed as an assistant professor in the Department of International Health at Georgetown University, where she teaches comparative health systems, health policy, control of non-communicable diseases in developing countries, and internship in international organizations. Professor Jarawan holds a PhD in business administration with a major in health administration and a minor in management, an MBA from Georgia State University, and an MPH from the American University of Beirut. Professor Jarawan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So first, could you tell us a little bit about your career at the World Bank?
Thank you. Yes, I joined the World Bank as a short-term consultant for, and then a long-term consultant for a year, and then I applied for a job and was lucky to have a job as a health specialist in the Africa region. It was the department, the East Africa and the Sahel department of the Africa region. I worked there for several years and then moved to the Middle East, North Africa region, where I worked on a number of countries, including Tunisia, Iran, Morocco, Lebanon. But then I was taken back, attracted by Africa, by sub-Saharan Africa, and went back to work on a number of countries. And then I was asked to be a sector manager for our work in West Africa. For a while, I was a sector manager for education, social protection, as well as health, nutrition, and population. But then the Africa region there was some restructuring, and I ended up being the sector manager for all our portfolio in health, for all our countries in sub-Saharan Africa. That was a challenging task, but very much rewarding to work with staff and countries to improve health systems in the Africa region. Now, after a while, I went back to operations, and I was really missing operations. This is my favorite part of the job at the World Bank. And I went back to East Asia and the Pacific, where I worked on Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and other countries, the Pacific Islands as well. Very different for me, very different region that presents lots of different challenges. What did I find the most
impactful or challenging?
Impactful, challenging. Mm-hmm. Each country has its own challenges and attraction, I should say. My first experience with Africa was Ethiopia, and I many years ago when I traveled to Ethiopia, I was shocked by the poverty and the great needs that I saw there. But then I traveled several years later, and it was so nice to see the difference in Addis Ababa as well as in other in other areas. Much improvement in, of course, more traffic. That's the problem. That's the that's the problem with development. But I could see fewer beggars in the streets and a much much better environment. What I find, I worked on Africa again when I used to travel to countries. I would just work on whatever the country needs. If for a while the bank was working with countries to control HIV/AIDS, to help control HIV/AIDS, that was quite interesting. But it was interesting to see the countries that had very much commitment towards this fight. I worked, for example, on Eritrea, and I could not, you know, as much as I wanted to get quick results, the government was even more interested in getting more quicker results. And it was a real pleasure to work with so many committed officials. When I worked on DR Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, I was also struck by how large the country is. It's as big as Europe. And how difficult it is to travel from one part of the DR Congo to another. I will never forget the trip out of Congo, the trip towards the road to the airport, where you see people walking and walking and walking and carrying loads. I mean, the level of poverty was shocking. Yet, officials were eager to do more and to see how to help the people in the country. So each country presented its own interesting challenges. East Asia was different, also very different for me. The level of dialogue was much more sophisticated and more interest in non-communicable diseases. They had more or less won the fight on infectious diseases and were getting ready for different types of challenges. The Middle East and North Africa also was very, very different mm-hmm. and presented different challenges.
You were at the World Bank for 25 years. How would you say it changed during your tenure there?
Oh, yes. I think the World Bank has changed to the better. When I joined the World Bank, we used to go and meet mostly with the central level government, Minister of Health, Minister of Finance, directors at the Minister of Health, and get a sense from them on the needs of the of the country. But it was not enough. We needed to go out to the field, and so later on, there was more of a push towards doing more of a beneficiary assessment.
Right.
So to do that, you need to talk to the people. You need to listen to the voice of the people. And so we would go out to the communities and listen and prepare what is called a beneficiary assessment. Also, the World Bank has become more attuned to poverty alleviation.
Right.
When you have poverty, it's poverty is really at the root of underdevelopment. So the World Bank became more interested in alleviating poverty. This was at the time of the president, Jim Wolfensohn. And until now, this is a priority for the World Bank.
And if you could take one takeaway from your experience there, what would you say is the biggest lesson you learned while at the World Bank?
Oh, biggest lesson I learned. First of all, I think the biggest lesson I learned is that investing in human resources is crucial to development. Mm-hmm. We used to have to prove that in the beginning, to prove why we need to invest in health. And we used to do economic analysis for that. But later on, we took it for granted. And all the administration at the bank did not require anymore that we prove that it is important to invest in health, not just in health, education, social protection, social sectors. And that, to me, that's important. And I use it all the time with my students now. investing in health is investing in development, economic development of the country.
Right. And on that note, what led you to pursue a career in academia?
Well, I started my career before the World Bank. I was in academia and in Beirut as well as in Michigan. When we moved to Washington, I just wanted to do something different and was very lucky to work for the World Bank. I got so much experience and I felt like I need to share all this experience with students and students who are eager to get into the global health field. So that really is an opportunity, is a great opportunity for me to share this experience with the students. They seem to love it.
Yeah, we definitely do.
They want stories all the time. And I mean, it helps me and it allows me. I think my career at the World Bank allows me to get the field closer to the classroom. Whenever I'm teaching something that seems theoretical, I have some real life examples to share with my students. And I think that's priceless.
Yes, I definitely agree. And what is your favorite thing about teaching at Georgetown?
Well, the students.
Glad to hear it.
No, it's true. The students. Well, I teach undergraduate as well as graduate, and they're different. Mm-hmm. The undergraduates are very curious, very eager to excel, and the graduate students as well. But the undergraduate students are more, it's a more homogeneous group. Okay. They're at the same level. At the graduate level, we have more of a heterogeneous group, which I think presents lots of advantages. Students learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm there just facilitating this learning. But I'm always struck by how, particularly at the undergraduate level, students know exactly what they want to do years from now.
Yeah.
I was never like that at their age. I had once a student at the freshman level come to me and say, what should I do in order to be an expert in global health and work for the World Bank? Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. Yeah. I said, how old are you? That's 19. I said, you know, it's too soon. You're going to change your mind many times before. But I see this in this generation. They know what they want and they work very hard for it.
Right. And can you tell us a little bit about the classes you're teaching this semester?
Yeah, I teach a comparative health systems class for the junior students, mm-hmm. Junior in the BS program in global health. And I also teach a health policy and systems class for your class, for the
right.
master.
For my listeners, that's the class that I'm taking with Professor Jarawan this fall. And on that note, the health policy and systems class is a core requirement for the Masters of Science students. What do you hope that students will get out of this class?
Well, for this class, first of all, to understand what a system is and what are the components of the system and how interrelated they are. But I also want them to understand how policies are formed and starting with a problem, a good definition of the problem, and how having a good definition of problem can lead to a definition of or in arriving at policies that would deal with the problem. So I'm hoping that they will master this policy analysis process, and also I'm hoping that whenever they read the news, they listen to the news or they read the newspapers, they can relate. They say, "Oh, this is something. This is about a problem, a health problem." And this is what politicians X, Y, or Z are doing in terms of coming up with policies to resolve these problems. So I'm hoping that they can read, I can be more critical of whatever they hear in the news or whatever they read, because this is real life. I mean, when we talk about health policy, it's real life. I think it's coming along very nicely.
And recently we had a special speaker come visit the class to talk to us about USAID's role in health programs abroad. Should we expect more speakers this semester? And what do you hope students will gain from hearing these guests speak?
Yeah, I think she was a star.
She was great, yeah.
It's the first time I invite her. I like to invite speakers. I usually invite lots of speakers from the World Bank, and mm-hmm. this year I decided I should make an effort to have from different organizations. So instead, in addition to that, our speaker, I have another person from USAID who is coming to speak to us about the pharmaceutical sectors.
Okay.
I will have also... well, today we have someone who used to be a colleague of mine at the World Bank, and she now has her own company
okay.
on human resources for health, and she has plenty of experience to share with us. Tomorrow I have someone from the World Bank who works on Latin America and on payment systems. He's also a good, very interesting speaker. I am lucky to have met a lot of people throughout my long career, and I can rely on them to come. They love to come to Georgetown, actually.
That's great.
When I invite them, they thank me. they like to come. And it's nice.
Why do you think they're excited to come to Georgetown?
It's the same reason I am excited to be here. They like to share their work
mm-hmm.
with students who are curious, who are interested, who are a good audience. And also, you know, to be a guest speaker at Georgetown is a bit is quite an honor.
Yeah,
I have to say, and I did not realize that so much before, but now I meet people who say, "When are you gonna invite me to come and speak uh-huh. to your students?" Which tells me that they look at it as a good honor.
Yeah, and speaking as someone who's in your classes, I know we are very excited to hear the rest of the speakers, and it's so great to see people who are out there doing what we hope to do later. So thank you for bringing in those speakers. Can you tell me a little bit about your current research?
I should say that in addition to my work here, I continue to keep a foot in the field.
Okay.
And I think it's important for my students and for my teaching. I mean, my stories from the World Bank will become old after a while. So I've been asked to work with the World Bank as a short-term consultant on countries from the Middle East and North Africa, particularly in the area of policy dialogue, universal health coverage, health financing. But in my trips in the last couple of years to North Africa, I've come to see how important is the question of human resources for health, particularly the physicians, not as much the nurses, strangely enough, but the physicians
mm-hmm.
Traveling, who are leaving more than they used to before.
Right.
There's also the question of dual practice, people, physicians who work in the public sector as well as the private sector. Some of it could be causing some problems. So I decided to study this, and I'm focusing my research this year on human resources for health, particularly to look at the physicians' migration, to look at the incentives
right.
of physicians, to look at the dual practice. So we'll see where this will take us.
And what advice would you give to people who want to pursue a career in global health?
Well, the advice I would give is to keep your eyes and ears open. For knowledge, there's so much one can learn outside the classroom. Well, of course, you need to do well in the classrooms, but also have a curious mind, read, talk to people. I also advise people to do a lot of networking. Networking
right.
is important, and I think we're lucky at Georgetown that many of us have worked in international organizations. We live in an area where there are so many think tanks. They organize fantastic meetings. The Center for Global Development, the CSIS, the National Academy of Science and Engineering and Medicine. I mean, I can't cope with all of that if I want to go to every one of those meetings. I still go. I go. I choose the ones that are very relevant to my classrooms. And so I think I would advise the students to take advantage of being in the DC area and surrounded by all these think tanks. It is in those meetings that you meet lots of interesting people, and who knows, who might be, interested in offering you a job as an intern or as part-timer or research assistant. Who knows? But have an open mind and go out there and mingle with a network with all these organizations.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And what inspires you to work in the global health field?
I like being with people. I like interacting with people. And when I was considering what to do with my life, I thought, well, I'm very good in math. I'm very good in science. But I don't want to study mathematics or just science. I wanted something that has to do with social science as well, a combination of both. And I happened to stumble into public health. And I loved it. And I had a professor who got me really interested in health administration and all the intricacies of systems and of health systems. But I found really my love for global health at the World Bank.
Okay.
When I started traveling to countries, when I started seeing poverty and seeing how the needs of some of the in some of the countries, the disparities between the regions, between the countries, I wanted to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a bit. I don't know what's the word for that. It sounds naive, but
no, not at all.
But it does. I mean, it's fantastic to. I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
I prepared a project for one of the poorest countries in Africa, and it was a project about health system strengthening and taking the services all the way to the communities, to the rural areas. Years after the project was closed. The World Bank does an evaluation of projects. So they recruit people who have nothing to do with the project to go out and see, okay, how did it work? Did it produce any results? And the person who went to evaluate my project came back with some great news for me. He said, "You will not believe it. Your project had so much impact." He traveled to remote areas that the project was impacting, and he said, "We couldn't find much to eat or drink, really, but they had medicine, the health centers were working properly. This was continues to be a poor area, but services were offered, health services were provided, no shortage of medicine." He saw my name on the document, and he said, "I have to go tell her because she will be very happy." You have no idea how pleased I was. Because
yeah.
We don't know. Sometimes we go, we work on projects, and we leave hoping for the best.
Right.
So it's very good to know that we made a bit of an impact. For a while also in my career, I was very interested in rapid results. I was a bit impatient.
Okay.
I wanted to see rapid results. And... so much that once they wrote in the paper of that country that the World Bank is interested in rapid results, and they quoted me.
Oh, gosh.
And the governors of the provinces, the health directors, started talking about rapid results as well. So I said, "Oh, that's interesting." I mean, it's really little things that sometimes make your day.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it's been a learning process for you this whole time as well.
And that's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
I was learning throughout 25 years, mm-hmm. and I continue to learn.
Yeah, that's great. So I'd like to close out with a bit of a fun question. So you've been in the DC area for a while now, teaching at Georgetown and working at the World Bank. What is your favorite restaurant in the DC area?
Well, we love to eat out. We've tried almost every restaurant in DC and wow. Bethesda. We live in Bethesda, so uh-huh. Bethesda has also offers great restaurants. I mean, there is a range of restaurants. The Fiola del Mar is one of my favorites. It's a great restaurant. But then there are all these tiny, small restaurants. There's one on MacArthur, Et Voila. I don't know if you know. It's a Belgian restaurant. It's pretty nice. You find Afghan restaurants, mm-hmm. Lebanese restaurants, Vietnamese. You find everything. I don't go, when I go out, we usually eat French. There's also a Billy Sud in Georgetown. That's pretty nice. There's also one on, you cut me there.
A lot of them.
Lots of options. Black Salt is quite nice on MacArthur. If you like fish and seafood. We have lots of options.
Good for our listeners to know. Get out there and start trying all that DC food.
Yeah, and they're not, you know, you have all ranges. Yeah. It doesn't have to be very fancy. Mm-hmm. You have everything.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us and telling us a little bit about your work.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Global Health Podcast, brought to you by the Department of International Health here at Georgetown University. We welcome you to learn more by visiting our website at globalhealthms.georgetown.edu or by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.